Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Vav. We will begin on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, the fifth line. As we've been learning throughout our sugya, the Gemara has been comparing relatives of the husband to relatives of the wives. So ask the Gemara, if that's the approach we're taking, why don't we say Ima Hu Kalosa Surah? If we speak about the husband, the Torah tells us quite explicitly that a father-in-law may never marry his daughter-in-law. Af hi kalos asura, the halacha ought to be that one should not be allowed to marry his wife's daughter-in-law, his wife's son's wife. But the halacha is not like that. The halacha is that one is allowed to marry his wife's daughter-in-law. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Amar Krah. When the Torah speaks about the Isser of marrying a daughter-in-law, the Pasuk says, Eves kalosecha loy segala, eishes bincha hi loy segala avrasab. And from here we learn, Mishem eishes bincha atam b'chayvay, there's an Isser to marry your son's wife, v'yatam b'chayv meishes b'na, not your wife's son's wife. Rava says that we don't need to have this limud to exempt a stepson's wife. Because as we discussed in our previous year, there are a number of ways of learning Gzeirah Shavah. Bein l'man dama domina mina, that when we learn Gzeirah Shavah, we learn all of the details that apply from where we're learning from to where we are learning. Bein l'man d'omer, and according to the opinion that when we learn Gzeirah Shavah, we only learn the general rule or the specific rule that we're trying to learn, but we don't learn all of the details. And that is expressed by saying, Domino v'ukuba asra, whatever way we learn Gzeirah Shavah, like asya, there's no way to learn the halacha of his stepson's wife from his own daughter-in-law. And the Gemara explains itself. Rav explains himself. Mahu kalasa asura. We wanted to say just like he may not marry ever his daughter-in-law, af hi nami kalasa asura. The halacha is he can't marry from her daughter-in-law. Umina. So we would take this gzeirah shavah all the way, because that's what Dan Mina Umina tells us to do. The halacha would be at mahu beskila, just like if somebody Rahman Slan has relations with his daughter-in-law. The punishment for that is skila. We would say that if somebody has relations with his wife's daughter-in-law, afhi nami b'skila, there would be a chi of skila. So as we've been discussing often our masechta, there's a machloikas, the rabbanan and Reb Shimon, which is the more severe punishment, skila or sreifa. So says the Gemara, l'mandam skila chamura, according to the opinion that skila is the more severe punishment, ikla mifrach. So we could ask the following question. Ma lahu. When we speak about the husband, shekein ima beskila. Just like there's an iser that if one chas v'shalom has relations with his mother, the chiv is the punishment of skila. So too is the halacha when one has relations with his daughter-in-law. Taimar behi. But when we speak about her relatives, that the halacha is shekein ima, as we discussed quite extensively in our previous year. In our previous year, we learned that if somebody has relations with his mother-in-law, there's a chiv sreifa, so maybe, which is less severe. And maybe just like the Torah is less severe when it comes to a mother-in-law, certainly, shetayma behi, that sheima besreifa, how would we be able to give, if we're learning Gzeirah Shavah that says that the two halachas would be same, how can we say that with a mother-in-law, the punishment is sreifa, and with a wife's daughter-in-law, the punishment is skila, which we're saying now is a more significant punishment. Void, furthermore, bita, if one's wife's daughter, the punishment is only sreifa, and that's a real relative to his wife's daughter, how could we say kalosa, that with wife's daughter-in-law, which is not as close as a daughter, the punishment should be skila. Furthermore, says the Gemara, that's not a question. Because who be that's meichich? We could bring a raya that the fact that it's a close relative or not a close relative is immaterial. The bitoy, if somebody has a relation with his own daughter, the punishment is sreifa. If somebody has relations with his daughter-in-law, the punishment kalosa is skila. So the fact that it's a close relative or more distant relative doesn't necessarily make a difference. But the way to understand it is mahu, when we speak about the man himself, like chalakta by ben imel kalosai, there's a chiyuv skila by his own mother and by his daughter-in-law. Af he like tachba by imel kalosa, it shouldn't. If we're going to compare, the halacha should be that by his wife's daughter-in-law there should be a chiyuv sreifa, just like there's a chiyuv sreifa by his wife's mother, by his mother-in-law. But that would not work, because the Gzeir Shava of Domino Omino dictates to us that we should learn it all the way. And if we should learn it all the way, then it would have to be Chiv Skila, which we're saying doesn't work, says the Gemara. So this explanation why the Gzeir Shava comparing his daughter-in-law and his wife's daughter-in-law is not understandable if we follow the opinion of Domino Omino. And we also follow the opinion that skila is a more severe punishment. But as we said, this question of what is considered a more severe punishment, skila or sreifa, is the subject of machloikis. Yes, Rav Shimon, the Rabbanon hold that skila is more severe. But says the Gemara, Laman dam sreifa chamura, Rav Shimon's whose opinion is that sreifa is more significant, mahai kasha, the kasha that we just asked, that since we want to compare the punishment between his wife's mother and his wife's daughter-in-law, the halacha is loy nidoinin. We can't learn the gzeirah shavah even for the basic. We can't even learn the gzeirah shavah to teach us the basic punishment, because it was saying domino mino. They have to be the same, and we can't give the same punishment if they're not. If we have to have the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law have the same punishment, but we're learning from kalosai. We're learning that if his daughter-in-law is usser, his wife's daughter-in-law is usser. But and we're also learning that whatever is the halacha on his mother-in-law should be the halacha to his wife's daughter-in-law. So now we have conflict. If we're going to learn it from kalosai, the einish would be skila. If we want to say that the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law have the same punishment, it should be sreifa. But if we learn gzeirah shavah with don mina mina, we're going to end up learning, giving her the wrong punishment. And therefore, this gzeirah shavah doesn't work, whether we follow the opinion of the Rabbanon or of Shimon. Now the Gemara goes according to the opinion that understands gzeirah shavah in a different way. And they understand the gzeirah shavah in the fashion, l'man dama domina v'uka ba'asra, which means, as we said earlier in the shir, that we take gzeirah shavah and we don't use it completely. We use it only for what we need. So now the Gemara goes into that. L'man dama, according to the opinion that says what we learn gzeirah shavah, the way we apply gzeirah shavah, is don mina v'uka ba'asra. So we're going to learn mahu kalasa asur. What's the gzeirah shavah going to teach us? That just like by him, his daughter-in-law is asur, afhi kalasa asura, his wife's daughter-in-law will be asa. Vuka ba'asra. And once we've established the gzeirah shavah, so we don't have to have that the gzeirah shavah is completely comparable. Hasam, by his daughter-in-law, there'll be a chiv skila. Ava hocha, when we speak about his wife's daughter-in-law, the chiv will be sreifa, kadash kan be'ima. Just like we know that the punishment for having relations with his wife's mother with his mother-in-law sreifa. Says the Gemara, Sulman da Omar, according to the opinion that holds skila chamura, that skila is the more severe punishment, ikla mifrach, malahu, why is there an isser with his daughter-in-law? She came ima b'skila. So we see the Torah is stricter with his own relatives. Taim behi, when we speak about his wife relatives, she'imo, that his she'imo, his wife's mother is Sreifa. So maybe the fact that we see that the Torah is giving less severe punishments to his wife's relatives is an indication that the Torah is not so strict with his wife's relatives, and the halacha will be that his wife's relative, meaning his wife's daughter-in-law, may be his mutter. Void. Furthermore, mahu, when we speak about the husband, mahu chalak bein bita lekaloisai, the halacha is if somebody has relations with his daughter, there's a chiv skila, a chiv sreifa. But when he has relations with his daughter-in-law, it's skila. Af he, so too, tachlik ben bita lekalosa. And even though the Torah is teaching us there's a chiv sreifa if you have relations with your wife's daughter, but with your wife's daughter-in-law, we will end up saying there's a chiv skila. And since we could say that maybe there's a chiv sreifa, just like with the mother-in-law, or there's a chiv skila, just like by his daughter-in-law. So the Gzeira Shava brings us to an ambiguous situation. And since the Torah left us with an ambiguous situation, we can't learn, says the Gemara, such a Gzeira Shava. And says the Gemara, even Laman Dam and Nami Sreifa Chamura, even according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that Sreifa is the more severe punishment, we can't establish that there will be a Chiv Sreifa on his wife's daughter-in-law, Mahai Kushin, because of the question that you just learned. We could learn that the din is that we should compare the daughter-in-law to the mother-in-law, or we could compare the daughter-in-law to his daughter. And since we don't know which way to learn, again, we could learn the Gzeir Shava to say that the halacha is like the mother-in-law, or we could say that we could learn that the halacha is like his daughter, which have different punishments, skila or sreifa. And since that leaves us with this ambiguity, that type of gzeirah shava lo nidonim. Ask the Gemara. Bita minasasai. We've learned that somebody, Rechman Tzlon, has relations with his daughter, there's a chiv sreifa. What is the halacha if she's a daughter not from a woman that he married, but a woman that he violated? Amar Abaya Kavachoymer. We're going to say the following Kavachoymer. Abbas Bita, when we speak that there's a chiv sreifa for a granddaughter, Abitai, so certainly a woman who is his daughter, albeit not from a marriage, Sloikoshkein, there should be a chiv sreifa. Ask the Gemara, v'chi onshim adin, is this a legitimate approach? Maybe it makes sense logically, but we can't use a kavachomer to give a punishment. Answers the Gemara, gila mils ba'almahu. The way to understand what the Gemara is trying to say, that not that the Gemara is trying to establish that there's going to be a chiv sreifa by a granddaughter, by a daughter from Bita Minasosa based on a kavachomer, because that we can't do, because we have the concept of Ein Einshim Minadin. But what we will be doing is we're going to be learning that this is a Gilui Milsa. And what the Torah means to teach us is when the Torah told us that one is not allowed to have relations with a granddaughter, the Torah included in this concept that we include any daughter. So it's not a Kal V'Chomer, it's actually just a Gilui Milsa that this is included in that situation. Rav Amar, but Rava gives a different answer. Amar li Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Asya, the way we learn a daughter from a Nusasai is a Chiv Sreifa, from the way we learn it is through the following Gzeir Shava of Heina Heina. It says, Eves bas bintcha bas bintcha lo yisagala ker voscha Heina. And Torah says regarding his wife, this is his own grandchildren. And the Torah says regarding his wife's offspring, Eves isha bita lo yisagala, es bas bina bas bita lo yisikach legalas ervasa, shere heina zemehi. So we say that just like why her relatives, his wife relatives, the daughter is also and the granddaughter is also, so too by his relatives. And then once we learned that Gzeri Shava, Asya Zima Zima, the Gzeri Shava of Zima Zima says that the Chiv Sreifa, there's a Chiv Sreifa, because by her relatives, the Torah Kedosh says, as Basman of Espas Bita Loisika Legalis Avarsa, Sherehena Zemehi. So, and then the Torah speaks about, and once we've connected the halachas of his relatives to her relatives, now we say, and that includes everybody. So the way the Pasha Pshat and the Gemara seems to be to learn is Abaye and Rava are arguing on the concept of Ein Anshim and Adin. That Rava's opinion is, Ein Anshim and Adin, a Kav Chaymer is not acceptable here. Abaye taught us that in certain situations, it's not considered a situation of a Anshim and Adin, a Kav Chaymer, rather it should be viewed as a Gili Milsa. So the Klaus Magareb is a Tzal, and the Shal Sechuvas Divrei Yatziv, Evan Ezra Simon Samach Dalid, explains that this machlokes really speaks to the issue, why is there a loch of Ein Anshim and Adin? This Masha says that the reason Ein Anshim and Adin is because we're going to use a Kal V'Chomer to give a punishment. But maybe the Aveir is so great that the punishment we want to establish through the Kal V'Chomer is inadequate. Another pshat is that we can't use a Kal V'Chomer because maybe the logic is wrong. So says the Klaus Magareba that Abaye is going to hold. The reason here is that this Kal V'Chomer cannot be refuted because a daughter is certainly closer than a granddaughter. So if the Torah says there's a Chiv Sreifa by a granddaughter, there certainly is a Chiv Sreifa by a daughter. And therefore, in this case, it's called a Gili Milsa. There's no room for refuting this Kal V'Chomer, and therefore, it's not a situation that we say Ein Anshim and Adin. That is the opinion of Abaye, explains the Klaus Magareba. But according to Rava, the issue is not to be viewed that way. The issue is that maybe this punishment is inadequate. Maybe the punishment of Sreifa is inadequate for such a terrible sin. If that's the case, we can't rely on the Kal V'Chomer. And since we can't rely on the Kal V'Chomer, Ein Anshim Adin, but the Gemara, Rava said there's another Gzeir Shava to establish what he's trying to accomplish. The Gemara brings another proof how we know that a daughter that was born from him violating a woman, there's a Chiv Sreifa. Says the Gemara, Tana Avu Derebavin, Lefish Lemad L'Bitim Nesosai. There's no pasuk that teaches us that a daughter born that way is Chayiv Sreifa, because the pasuk says, Ervis bas bincha bas bitecha, your granddaughter, but doesn't speak about the daughter, Hutzach HaKos of Lamar, but the pasuk, a pasuk that we've quoted often in our shurim, says, Obas ish kain kisecha liznois, asaviyeh mechalelas beish tisarif. What does it have to say, Obas ish kain? It would have been sufficient for the Torah to say, bas kain, to teach us that even if it's bas ish, if it's somebody's daughter, there's a chiv sreifa. Ima bas koyin, just like the daughter of a koyin, we've been learning, as aviyah mechalelas, the Torah says, ba'esh tisarif, he besreifa, vein ba'ala besreifa, says the Gemara. But now we have a question. If that's the way we're going to learn, there's a chiv sreifa for his own daughter, based on the pasuk of bas ish koyin, but we learn that when the bas koyin has a special situation that she's chayiv sreifa, we've learned that that only applies to her, vein by alba sreifa, but not the person who has relations with her. So maybe we should say similarly, if we're learning the halacha of sreifa by your daughter, we should say af bita minasasai, he besreifa, the daughter will be chayiv sreifa, vein by alba sreifa, and we're learning that there's a chayiv sreifa on both of them. Amr Abaye, to which Abaye responds, Amr Kras Aviyah Mechalelas Be'esh Tisarev. So we learn from here, Mish Mechalelas Aviyah says a situation that if the daughter of a Kohen did something immoral and she hurt her father, that's where she gets Sreifa, but not the person who had relations with her. However, Yotzuzu Shavir Mechalala. In this case, she's not defiling her father. Her father's defiling her, because the father's the one that's having relations with her, and therefore, he's Chayiv Sreifa. Rav Amar, Rav says a different explanation. Bishlama Hasam, there's somebody who has relations with a Bas Koyin, that even though the Bas Koyin is Chayiv Sreifa, the Boyle is not Chayiv Sreifa, because the Torah specifically said, a fact the Medina the Bas Koyin, the Torah excluded him from the special halacha that the Bas Koyin gets Sreifa, for Kimna Dina the Bas Yisrael, and gave him the halacha of a Bas Yisrael that he gets Chenek. Says the Gemara Hocha, but in the case if somebody has relations with his own daughter, we can't say that, well, we won't treat it special. We'll treat it like any situation of an Eishes Ish with this chenek. Adina the Ban Mukmasloi. Her Isser is not because she's an Eishes Ish. Her Isser is because she's Bitoi. Adina the Pnuyim Mukmasloi. We want to say that she's going to be treated like any single girl that's not Chayiv. That's not Chayiv. A punishment when she's single. So we must treat, we have no other option but to say that she's going to be treated like the daughter, and just like the daughter's Chayiv Sreifa, the father who does this act will also be Chayiv Sreifa. Continues the Gemara. So we just learned what the Gemara just finished doing was teaching us how we know that the daughter is, that the daughter and the husband and the father a Chayiv Sreifa. But now the Gemara wants to know, as Har Labita Minsos Menayin, that's the Einish, but as we've been discussing in all our Shurim, we have to have a Pasuk for the Lav as well. So it says, Bishlam Abai V'Rova, that learned, the Mehech the Nafkalei Einish, he learned, they learned the Alocha Bita Minsosai from the Alocha of Bita of his granddaughter. So just like the Mehech the Nafkalei Einish, just like they said that the granddaughter is Chayiv Sreifa, and now, and that obviously extends to the daughter. Masam nafkalei ashara. Ela taravuder oven that we learned earlier in the shir. That we learned from Bas Ishkayin. So that's a pasuk that speaks about the Chiyuv Sreifa. But where will we know that's horror, the basic iser? Amar v'loy, amakrat achalas bitchal as noisai. And the Torah is teaching us that we may not defile our daughter. We may not defile our daughter in any way with having a relations with her. Mask of law, Rav Yaakov, Achud, Rav Achba Yaakov, Hay Atachalas, Bitchalas Noisoi, Lahachidaso, is needed for this. How can we say that that's what we learn from the Pasuk? Haimi Bailey, this Pasuk is needed to Lachitanya, as we learn, Atachalas, Bitchalas Noisoi, Yochel, that we would say, Kainam Sis Bitta Lelevi Yisrael Kosmadaber, we would say that the Torah is teaching us that one may not marry off his daughter to a somebody to, who's not a Kohen, because till now she was allowed to eat Truma, and once she marries off, she's married to someone, Levi Yisrael, she won't be able to eat Truma. Tamla Laz Noisai. The Chiloship is Nusa Kosmodiber. The Torah is warning him that he may not do something that will defile her, be it moral. But Maisa, as Bitoi, Lishloi Lishemisha. So it's speaking about a case that the you're not allowed to give over your daughter to a relationship outside of marriage. But it's not teaching us anything about one not having relations with their daughter. Answers the Gemara that what the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Ovin, the Pasuk should have said, if that's all the Pasuk is coming to teach us, that we can't marry off, we have to be careful not to give our daughters away in a moral marriage, and to treat a hefker, the pasuk should say al tochel, my al techalo. Why did the Torah use the word techalo with two lamets? Shmami notarti, to teach us two halachas. One, that one has to be careful not to give away his daughter to an immoral relationship, and two, that there's an isser for father to have relations with a daughter. So Rashi says that the concern here is that shouldn't be that maybe she shouldn't be marrying only a kohen. That, and the Gemara says that that isn't the havamina. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Verova, who do learn The don't need this pasuk to teach us about the isser of a daughter. What are they going to use this pasuk for? Amramani, to teach us a different halacha. Zemasi bita lezaken. One is not allowed to marry off his daughter to an elderly person. Gretanya al tchalas bitchla az doisoi. Reb Leza oimer zemasi bita lezaken. Somebody who marries off his young daughter to an older man. Makiva oimer zemasha bita begeris. When a person has an older daughter and he doesn't marry her off, that is what the pasuk means to say, you're not allowed to do that. So the Paiskim discuss this Isser, and there's a number of points that have to be made to this about this halacha. The first thing that the Sefer Chassidim says and all the Paiskim discuss very extensively, and that is a man is not allowed to do something that will deceive the woman or the woman's family that he's younger than he really is. And therefore, to dye his hair is certainly usur, because that's just sheker, that's lying. The question now is, where the girl, her family, know the age. And the question that the Gemara now has is, are we allowed to let a girl marry an older man? So I saw that the Paiskim suggest that the first thing we have to look at is if this is a girl who still can have children, but the man is past the age where he can normally have children, then we shouldn't, there's a machlokes if we could allow such a marriage to take place. But the Paiskim do seem to indicate if the girl knows his age and she knows that he's much older than her, but he's still able to have children, and she knows and wants to marry this man, that the halacha then is that she can marry the man. The Gemara also says that one should not wait and delay his daughter, who's of marriageable age, to get married. And one, the Gemara teaches us that a father who advises his daughter not to get married because he says that the boy is not suitable for her. Before she accepts her father's advice, the girl should examine what is the truth. If her father's opinion is really based on honesty, or is it just because he has his own considerations? And if it's own consideration, the halacha Rabbi Yonason says that what she should be prepared to marry this boy, because even though there's a chiv or kivit of the aim. And the Marik says the same regarding the boy. The Marik says that if there's a boy who wants to get married to a girl who's appropriate for him, and his parents don't want him to marry that boy, there is no obligation of kivit of aim. The Marik makes an interesting point. He says the obligation of kivit of aim is when it's for the parents' benefit, but one is not obligated in kibbut of the aim, which have nothing to do with their benefit. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Kahana Mishum Rav Kiva, Ein lecha oni b'Yisrael, there's nobody that's worse, el Rosh Arim. Definition of a Rosh Arim is a conniving Roshim, v'masha b'ita b'geris. Because, again, somebody who's advising his daughter not to get married is only doing it for his own benefit, that she should still be at home and serve him. So therefore, ask the Gemara, Ota Masha Bita Begeris Lav Rosh Arim, the person that's doing this is a Rosh Arim, because he's conniving. He makes the daughter feel that I'm doing it for your behalf, when it's really not. Amra Baya Hachikamar. The way to understand what the Gemara means to say is, Eza Oni Rosh Arim, who is the individual who's a Rosh Arim? Hamasha Bita Begeris, somebody who holds back his daughter from getting married because it's for his benefit. Amar Rav Kahana Mishum Rav Kiva, Havizar Menayotzko Lefi Darkoi. You have to be most careful. Somebody gives you advice, if they're giving you proper advice, or what they're doing is only for their benefit. If what they're doing is only for their benefit, don't listen to that advice. Amar Yudam Rabba Messias Bito Lezokin. As we've been discussing, somebody who marries off his daughter to an elderly person, as we said, who can't do tashmish, or somebody who marries off his daughter to a boy who's still too young to do tashmish, v'machsa aved l'goy, or somebody returns a lost object to a goy. And of course, the Mefarshim all try to understand why is giving hashavas aveda to a goy so terrible. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that this individual is treating a Nachri and a Yisrael in the same way. And that's an unacceptable approach to treat a Nachri and a Yisrael in the same way. Another pshat is that this person who does Hashavas Aveda to the guy, what is he showing us? What he's showing us is that to him, he's not returning it because of its a mitzvah. Because were he returning it because of its a mitzvah, he wouldn't be returning it to a Nachri. He's doing what he does because it's the nice thing to do. Mitzvahs are not supposed to be performed because it's the nice thing to do. Mitzvahs are supposed to be performed because it's the what Hashem wants us to do. All of our Kass of Omer, regarding such an individual, the Torah Kedosha says, L'man survives harava as a tzmeya lo'yavu Hashem le'semech lo'y. Somebody who connects himself to that type of behavior, he connects people who ought not to be connected. The pirate says, such a person, l'yoyva Hashem, sloich loy, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will not be ready to forgive him. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, ha'oyva sishta kegufay, if somebody loves his wife as much as he loves himself, v'mechabdoi yoyis megufay, and he respects her even more than he respects himself, v'amadrich, he treats his children, he educates his children properly, and he marries them off when they're young, before they could start having hira avera. So we see that it is good to marry off children young. But we just learned that you shouldn't marry off your son young. And says the Gemara, Samach Lepirkan Shani. There's a difference what young means. If he's young, but he's close to the age of getting married, that's what you should do. If he's much younger than that, one should not do this. Rashi explains, what does it mean, Hamechabda Yos Begufoy? He buys her nice clothing and nice jewelry. And buying her nice jewelry, maybe even more than he could really afford, that the halacha is what, that's what the halacha says he should do. And in fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Ishes Perek Tezvav Hilchos Yotes, he says, Tziva Chachamim, the Chachamim taught us, She'odem Chabris Ishta Yos Megufay, he should honor his wife more than he has himself, Vayve Kegufay. V'yem Yesh Le'momen Marbet Tavasay, if he has the financial means, he should treat her kafia mamon. V'loyata la'emi seira, he shouldn't act strictly with her. V'yidiburi imay benachas, he should speak to her softly. V'loyatsev la'rogas, he shouldn't be nervous, he shouldn't be angry. So we see how the Rambam teaches us that we have to have such respect for our wives. The Maral explains that why does it say oiv kegufay mechabda yois megufay? He says, the pasuk says, v'hafta l'reacha kamoicha. So it's virtually impossible to love anybody more than they love themselves. Therefore, the pasuk says, v'hayavay kegufay. But when it comes to mechabdoi, it is possible to be mechabit somebody more than you expect from, more than you expect for yourself, and therefore you should do that. The Ben Yoyada explains that what the Gemara means to say here is that Samach L'Parkin, when it's almost time for a boy or a girl to get married, that's when the Yetzirah starts influencing them. And the way to prevent that is by marrying them off. Tana Bana Oiv Shchenov, if somebody loves his neighbors, a Makarvis Krevov, a Noises Ben Achaisai, somebody draws the people who are close to him, close all the time, he marries his niece, and he lends money to a poor person when the poor person needs it. All of a cuss of Omer regarding such a person, the pasuk says, "Oz tikra," when you will call out to Hashem, Hashem Yana. So I saw that what is Pshat HaOivir Shcheinav HaMekarav Es Kroivav. So I saw a beautiful Pshat that typically what happens is, as a person is familiar with a person is constantly in touch with such a with an individual, the relationship starts to cool off. What happens when the person is Mekarvis Kroivov, Mekarvis Shreinov, these are people I'm with here all the time, and still I continue showing them the respect and the relationship that they deserve. That is a person that a show that you're supposed to that is to be show is a great person. Another pshat that I saw, the Inyakov says that the pshat here is that somebody who is Makarv the Kroivov, even if these are people that are poor and not great people, but he doesn't pay attention to their stature and their status. These are my relatives, and because they're my relatives, I'm going to treat them properly. That is the right person. Then the Mara speaks about Masih Basa Choysai. So there's a Machloikis Rishonim. Basa Choysai means a niece. What does it mean, a niece? Does it mean a niece strictly his daughter's, his sister's daughter, or any niece? So Tosfos, quoting Rabbeinu Tam, says it's a sister's daughter, because there's a certain commonality between a man and his sister's daughter, because their mother is his sister, but not with a brother's daughter. Tosfos Yeshanim has a different consideration. Tosfos Yeshanim says that if one marries his brother's daughter, and if Chas V'Shalom passes away without any children, we won't be able to perform the mitzvah of Yibam. The Rambam, however, disagrees. And the Rambam says that this halacha applies both to any type of a niece. He just says that it's more common that one's going to marry a niece from a sister, or maybe this preference, but not that one that the halacha doesn't apply to a brother. But now there's a question that the Noida Behuda asks. The Noida Behuda says that Hazor a person should not marry a niece. So Noida Behuda asks, how does the Sefer Chassidim reconcile what we just learned in our Gemara? So the Noida Behuda says that the way to understand what it says in the Sefer Chassidim, that the Sefer Chassidim was speaking to his descendants, and he saw that type of a marriage, where one of his descendants will marry a niece, will not be successful, even though the Gemara says we should. Another pshat that I saw, that there's a concern, a health concern, when one marries a close relative. So how is one allowed to marry a close relative? The answer is, if one gets married l'shem shemayim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects that union from being hurt medically. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid saw that in his times already, people were not getting married purely l'shem shemayim. And because people were not getting married purely l'shem shemayim, they don't have that protection, and therefore the halacha is that you should not make that kind of marriage. Then the Gemara said, "Hamav v'sedel ani b'shas dochkoi," and the pshat is that even though the pasha pshat is that the person that you're lending money to doesn't have the easy way of paying, that doesn't seem that he's going to be able to pay back, the halacha is that you should still lend them money. And even as the Maharal says, give him more money that he really needs. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that the halacha is that one has there are shiurim, how much money does one have that he's entitled to tzedakah, how much money is he entitled not to take tzedakah, and one should be careful not to lend money that will cause that the ani will no longer be in a bracket that's entitled to tzedakah. But then I saw that the Ksav Sofer has a very different pshat. Hamavel ani b'shas dochkoi is not speaking to the ani who is the loiva. They're speaking about the malva. We have an individual who's b'shas dochkoi. The person himself is undergoing financial difficulties. So we would say that if this person is undergoing financial difficulties, he maybe should hold back from lending money. But this person, instead of doing so, what does he do? He goes above and beyond and he lends money to an ani. If somebody is prepared to lend money to a person, even though he currently is in a difficult place, that is a very great person. Tana Rabbanan, we've discussed in our previous shiur, the pasuk says, "Vishishikach es isha ves ima, zimhi beish yisroifu oisa ve'esen." So as we discussed in our previous shiur, there's machloikis how to understand the word esen. Oisen ves achsmehen. Rav Shmuel says that it refers to one of the women, means to the mother-in-law. Kivayma oisa ve'shteim, the pasuk refers to two people. So I asked the Gemara, what's the nafkamina? Where is the machlokes? I'm a bai mashmal starshin ikvenayu. Everybody agrees that there are two people who are doing the wrong thing here. The man and the mother of his wife. Mashmal sova oisev esen, oisev es achsmehen, means one of them. We're speaking about one of the two women, the mother-in-law. And why is it? So the word esen refers to the mother-in-law, not eim chamaisai. And according to him, the halacha that we've learned in our previous year, that not only is a mother-in-law asur, but the mother of a mother-in-law, your wife's grandmother's asur, that will be midrasha asya. We're going to learn it as we learned previously. That he's now out of relations with his mother-in-law and his mother-in-law's mother. And therefore, according to him, Eim Chamosai Chachik Siva. So according to Baya's interpretation, there is no Malchleikus and Halacha. Both of them will agree that it's also to have relations with your mother-in-law and her mother. The question is, does this Pasuk teach us that? Rava says the Machleikus of Betirim Mishmon Rekiva is a different Machleikus. Halchmosai Lacha Misa Akvenayu. What will be the halacha after one's wife passes away? Is he allowed to have relations with his mother-in-law? Rav Shmuel sava chamosai lachamisa. It remains the same. The sreifa. The pasuk says that woman is always usher to you. The kiva sava. The pasuk it says is coming to teach us only that your mother-in-law and her mother are usher, but that only is the case as long as your wife is alive. But after your mother-in-law is alive, is no longer alive, then the halacha is that you shouldn't have relations with your mother-in-law, but there's no chiv misa for having those relations. Says the Mishnah, Vela and Nehrogim, these individuals have misa sayif, haritzeach, a murderer, vanchi inedachas. Says the Mishnah, Ritzeach hishikas reveyu be'evin or barzel, if a murderer killed somebody with a stone, with a knife, the kavish oisa l'toicha mayim l'toicha or, he put him into water that he should suffocate, drown, or into fire, any yachal laos misham, and he did it in a way that this person cannot escape, umeis, and then this victim died, chayiv, then the ritzeich will be chayiv. Doch l'toicha mayim l'toicha or, but he put him into such a situation that the victim could escape, the yachal laos misham, and he could have come out, umeis, and he didn't, and then he passes away, potter. The shisaboy as a caliph, if the murderer instigated a dog, shisabas a nachash, instigated a snake, potter. In these cases, he would be potter because he didn't actually murder him. Hishakboy is a nachash, but if he instigated a snake against the victim, Rabbi Huda Mechayev, the Chon Paitrim niggas will all be explained in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara. Amishmu, the Torah says, regarding a murderer, Vim Vikli Basil Kov Vyomis, Vim Bevin Yadash Yomis by Kom Vyomis, Obeklay Eitz Yad, Hashemis by Kiv Vyomis Ritzechu, Vimnei Maloy Nemra Yad by Basil. Why doesn't the Torah use the same wording by Barzel as it does by Eitz? Says the Gemara, Shabazza Meza Bekoshu, because metal kills under all circumstances. Even the smallest metal, if it punctures a person, it could kill him. Ha'ilam Kodesh Baruch Hu well knows Shemazel Memes because Shu Lefikach Na'etanta Bashir. The Torah doesn't describe how he got killed by the Basel. He's always chayiv. V'hani mili, but this halacha the Basel could always kill. It's only when it's sharp and it could puncture the person. We know the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that when somebody says Brich Samazon and he has a knife on the table, the Shulchan Aruch and Ayur Chaim Simen Kuf Pei Sif Hei says that we should cover the knife. The question is, what if you have a knife which is not sharp, a butter knife? What's the halacha if it's not made out of metal, if it's made out of plastic or wood? What's the halacha about a stainless steel metal fork? What's going to be the halacha in all these cases? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Beis Yosef for giving us two reasons for this halacha. One is because Barzel, metal, causes to shorten one's life. And Birch Samazin, it doesn't belong on the table, which the purpose of the table and the Birch Samazin is to give us a Rich Hashem longer life. And that's why the Torah says regarding the Mizbeach, L'son of Alei and Barzel. The other reason is because there was once somebody who was saying Birch Samazin, and he came to the Bracha Bani Yerushalayim, and he got so overwhelmed with sadness that he stabbed himself. Says the Magen Avraham, so only a knife made out of Basel you have to cover, because the Basel is made to shorten one's life. All other materials are not. So the halacha is, accordingly, that if it's not a metal knife, if it's a metal knife but it's not sharp, so there's no reason not to be able to keep it on the table. It can't hurt you, it's not sharp, and it's not the basil that is used to kill. So, in fact, the river Sephraim, Paskins, you can leave it on the table. The Shaul Shuv Aznidbru disagrees, and he says one should take it off. A knife made out of plastic, that seems that one could keep on the table. Why? Because it's not Barzel, and even though if it's sharp, it could hurt you, but it's not what Chazal made the Gzeira. It seems a fork, which is made out of metal, so it's sharp, and it could hurt you. The halacha really ought to be that it's usur. But on the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch only speaks about a knife. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't speak about anything else, and maybe therefore it should not be usur. Continues the Gemara. The kavash level tekemayim. If one puts somebody into fire or into water, then the halacha is that if he could get out, the murderer is potter. Says the Gemara, reish revusa kamashmalon. In the case where of the first case of the Mishnah, there's a chiddush for sefer revusa kamashmalon. Reish kamashmalon. Avgav the ilav iudachkoi. If he didn't actually push him into the fire, if he fell alone. He keeps him down there. Chayiv, umeis, he's chayiv. Sefer revusa kamashmon, dafgav the dochoy, that even though he actually pushed him into the fire and water, kim the yochalas masham, but since this person could escape from there, then he's not considered a murderer. Continues the Gemara, kavash menolon, how do we know that if you didn't push him into the water, you will not be held responsible? Am Shmuel the Krah, Oy be'eva. The Torah used the word be'eva, the rabbis as hametzamtzumam, that even if you just kept him down, you weren't the one that threw him into that area, you're still going to be considered a murderer and you're going to be chayiv. Only if he could escape, then you will be potter.